Well, all of you know, since we don't have any guests, I don't need to explain this, that I always feel free to change the topic when something important happens. And I know I'd scheduled something about Memorial Day, but don't we really have to talk about the important things, not just the calendar? I mean, why should the calendar drive what we talk about and think about? So I think that we really ought to drop Memorial Day and talk about Rosie's future and whether American Idol has a future and whether it was fixed and getting rid of Sanjaya was just a brilliant stroke or it was a terrible idea. There's got to be a Hasselhoff in here somewhere and maybe Paris doing time somewhere. Oh, we are not a serious people. There are serious things going on in our world and in our lives. There is serious news, serious disputes, and we as a people, not this congregation, I'm not beating up the choir, although I noticed they left, but we as a people, as Americans, are not a serious people. We are so easily distracted by all of the trivia out there that appeals to our prurient interest. It's all about, even politics, it's all about horse races and not substance. Because substance, I guess, is just too hard to talk about. And so we get fed by the media, mea culpa, and by the politicians, no mea culpa on my part, a bunch of slogans and bumper stickers and T-shirts that do not accurately reflect what is going on in our world. And it is my view that basically nobody is telling the truth because they don't believe either that we can handle it or that we're interested in it. And if we can handle it, it can't be for over a minute and a half on the national news, or else we will just drift off to some entertainment show or some show that talks about the people who are on an entertainment show, because apparently their disastrous lives are much more interesting than the scripts that they act out while actually on camera. This much may be true. There's a war going on. Maybe some people in America notice. There's a war going on. We have lost, by we, I mean America. I can't begin to count the Iraqis, although they do count as human beings. We have lost somewhere around 3,500 men and women in the war simply in Iraq. We have lost over 100 in the month of May and apparently around 6 or 7 just today. But Sanjaya is easier to talk about than the war. The war is too complex, and so we have sloganeering and bumper stickers. The war, well, it's the fault, the Democrats say, it's the fault of that moron in the White House. Democrats ought to try to figure out why they keep getting outmaneuvered by that moron in the White House, because it doesn't reflect well on Democrats. Both sides play the oversimplifying, screaming, name-calling game. Well, it's the moron versus the traitors. No, it's not about stupid versus traitors. And this sermon is actually not about the war. I think reasonable people can disagree about what we should be doing and how we should be doing it. But what I'm talking about today is the denial that we have of our two primary addictions as Americans and all of the neurotic things that we do to try to cover up our denial. We are addicted to cheap oil and we are addicted to cheap labor. And so the issue of oil and the issue of labor and immigration and war all wrap up together in that as Americans, we want to have bumper stickers, cut through Gordian knots, get to the simplest point, and essentially not tell each other the hard truths about our own lifestyle choices and what it takes to keep our lives at the level that we want them. Because all Americans, and this includes Unitarian Universalists, do not like to change. Change is difficult and change is threatening. Even good change is difficult and threatening. I almost had my previous congregation break apart over whether to add the name Universalist to Unitarian. In the end, well, but we're going to be changing our letterhead. People were fighting and arguing and yelling about that. Think about real issues and real change and the real addictions that we have. Can anybody seriously believe that there is a war going on in the Middle East that doesn't involve oil? Does anyone really believe in looking not at far away ancient history, but modern history, that if there were no oil, there would be no Americans? We went in there for democracy and to depose a cruel dictator. We are not eager to go and do anything in Darfur. We are not eager to do anything in Zimbabwe in terms of Mugabe and what he has done to wreck and ruin that country and imprison people physically and by poverty and starvation. And we and the rest of the world stood idly by going, well, isn't it a shame, as 4 million human beings in the Congo were killed, but they don't have oil. Now, it's not that I'm going to do a big guilt rap about all of this stuff and the cynicism, but we are addicted to oil. If we didn't need the oil, we wouldn't be there. Should we be there? Should we engage dictators? Should we protect? That's another conversation. But we are addicted, and our economy is addicted to oil. And you know the remarkable thing? We could be unaddicted almost instantly. In historic times, in 5 years, we could be energy independent, and we wouldn't need technological breakthroughs. We wouldn't need scientists. It'd be nice to have it, but we wouldn't need it. We don't need to have better photovoltaic storage. We don't need to have cold fusion. On today's technology, all we have to do is say, I don't need to have a 2-ton SUV that can go 90 miles an hour and get 14 miles to the gallon. If I'm willing to have a 1,000-pound car that gets 80 miles to the gallon and goes 45 miles an hour, maybe 35 up a hill, if I will trade my speed, I can change the energy profile of this country. It's not rocket science. No oil, no blood for oil. It's a great slogan. 50,000 Americans die on our roads every year. That's blood. And that's blood for the oil, and it's blood for the oil that puts the 2-ton SUVs going 90 miles an hour. We're at 40 miles an hour in 1,000-pound cars. There's every chance that that death rate goes from 50,000 to 10,000 or under. Ethanol. What a terrific idea. Let's take arable land that's producing calories to feed a starving humanity and turn it into feeding our cars instead. That's blood for corn. These are lifestyle issues that everybody wants to make hugely complex and cynical, and it's like the truth. We can't handle the truth. We don't want to look at what our lifestyle issues create in terms of policy. we're complaining that we pay, I paid $3.25.9, I love 0.9 cents, like we can't figure it out, I guess we can't, 25.9 cents a gallon today, and I think that that's kind of expensive. There are places in San Francisco that are over $4. We are not paying $3.25 and $4 for gas. We are paying a lot more because there's a hidden subsidy in the oil and gasoline that all of us use. That subsidy is in our defense budget, in our CIA budget, and in our USAID budgets. We spend a fortune to explore, extract, ship, and protect our exploration, extraction, and shipping of oil from all around the world. If we factor in those security costs of maintaining those pipelines, of maintaining those shipping routes, of amortizing the Iraqi war, just the Iraqi war, in terms of what we're paying for gasoline, we are paying a lot more through our tax dollars for gasoline. Why in the world won't we look at that and change some of that? Neither party talks straight about it. Neither party talks straight about the other big issue before us. And I'm not speaking to the substance of the issue. I'm speaking to the form of the conversation, and that's immigration. They've passed an Immigration Reform Act bill that nobody likes, that no serious person thinks is actually going to get implemented, and so we're fighting and sloganeering about something that's not going to happen because, again, we are filled with a sense of willful ignorance, denial, and blindness about our addiction, from the most wealthy plutocrat who employs large numbers of undocumented illegals to the people who employ them sitting in this room. We don't look at this issue straight. America is like the Miami Cubans who say any politician that says, I want to do business with Cuba should be run out of town. Any politician that wants trade with Cuba or send a dollar to Cuba, run out of town. Except, of course, I want to be able to send my family money in Cuba. There should be an exception for me. That's the way America is with illegal, undocumented aliens. Send them all home, except for the ones that make my life possible. Send them home, except for the ones who are subsidizing my lifestyle, who make it possible to go to work and leave children, who make it possible to have nannies and gardeners, who make it possible to have food that is underwritten literally on the backs of cheap labor. These are the people who plant, pluck, and process our food, and their cheap labor is a hidden subsidy to our life, even when we try to deny it. So we have a great idea for immigration reform. We've got 12 million, at least, facts on the ground. No serious person, even the ones who cry in front of the camera in Congress, believes that we're going to round up and deport 12 million human beings. No serious person thinks that those 12 million human beings are going to go back to their country of origin and leave their American citizen children here while they stand in the back of the line for the next, right now, the estimate is 12 years to get their re-entra visa and to pay a $5,000 fine. Oh, but they wouldn't have to pay it all at once. Anybody here who wants to write that $5,000 check will take it. Most people in middle income don't have $5,000 disposable. It's all a wonderful bunch of a Rube Goldberg device of a piece of policy that no politician, how with whatever animus they are debating it, believes is actually going to happen. So we can spend a lot of energy talking about the good parts of the bill and the hateful parts of the bill. but it's smoke and mirrors because we won't look at those two addictions that maintain a lifestyle: oil and cheap labor. And we live in this world of very strange denial of things that are right in front of us every single day, and that both subsidize us and cost us dearly. But politicians deal with slogans, and news deals with distractions, and all of this stuff is just too hard to deal with. We act like regular addicts. We want to blame all of those out there, those foreigners who come to this country and they're changing the signage. I'm really upset about the signage. They're changing the signage. They're leeching away our culture. Our culture is a gumbo, mestizo culture. They're ruining our everyday language. You know, like, totally. We want to blame the foreigners among us who make our lives possible. We want to blame the oil companies, and I got problems with their profits, but we're still not paying for oil directly. And this is America. We are bloated and obese on these unacknowledged subsidies. And as Americans, we do what Americans do. We sue McDonald's for our obesity instead of looking at ourselves and our lives and what we're willing to change, what we're willing to give up so that our children and grandchildren don't have to fight in the Middle East, so that we don't have to attend funerals of the 50,000 people who are killed on our streets, so that we can deal with what the real prices are for oil, for food, for daycare, for labor, and try to have a more goodly and just society here. It's too easy to play them. It's them foreigners, it's them oil companies, it's them politicians. We're the ones not watching. And I think it begins here. But you know something? We're in America. So what about Rosie and Sanjaya? What do you think? Never mind.